I said that I felt drawn to the prophet Jonah, and so I'd like to look at that book a little bit during these days, but for tonight, we're not going to look at Jonah. I thought we'd start with a psalm for this evening, a psalm that is greatly loved. So precious is this psalm. I wonder if I left that in my room. I guess so. That the boys quoted it last Sunday morning. It was precious to them as well as to many people. Last Sunday, the fourth period campers quoted Psalm 130. And when I was told that that was their memory passage, I was so happy. And their theme was the theme of repentance. And we know that that comes out very strongly in the book of Jonah. But in this psalm we have, well, let's look at it together. We'll read it. It's only 8 verses. If you have the King James Version, please read with me. I have 2 versions here and another one there, but I can't help but come back to last Labor Day, or was it 2 years ago, when one of the ladies that was sitting right there by Carolyn, and I had no intention of reading the psalm out of any other translation, she said to me, "You're not going to read a psalm out of another version, are you?" So, you have to read a psalm. Psalms out of the King James Version. So I'm following her it was stronger than a suggestion. And reading Psalm 130 out of the King James Version. Do follow along in any other version that you have, please. And if you would like to read with me, I'd like that. We could read together. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. What a great psalm this is. I read, and I know that Rob, who was leading the boys, knows this too, for he, I believe, had it in his little book or somewhere in his notes. I saw it, that Martin Luther loved this psalm. He called it a Pauline psalm. He had a few Pauline psalms, 32, 51, 143, 130. These were psalms that mentioned or offered the forgiveness of sins by grace apart from human works. And of course, from what we know about Martin Luther, we know that that would have stirred his heart. I suppose this is one of the great expositions in the Old Testament of the way of salvation by grace on the basis of Christ's atonement. In fact, Luther expounded this psalm, and he also wrote a hymn that was based on it. Of course, he wrote in a foreign language, German. But we have it translated into English. The first verse says, "From depths of woe I raise to thee the voice of lamentation. Lord, turn a gracious ear to me and hear my supplication. If thou iniquities dost mark, our secret sins and misdeeds dark, O, who shall stand before thee?" This is one of 7 penitential psalms. And it starts there in the lowest depths of despair. And that's why I chose it, in addition to the fact that the boys learned it last week. It's like Jonah. He was all the way down there in the depths. Because he didn't even know how low he was. He couldn't see. But there was the fish that had swallowed him. And it was because of his disobedience, because of his sin in fleeing from the Lord, the Word of God, the presence of God, the call of God, running away from God. His disobedience resulted in his being brought down to the depths of woe. And then he called on the Lord. This is one of the songs of degrees, or the songs of ascents. And I guess one way of looking at it is that this is in itself a song of ascent, because it starts in the depths of woe. And crying out to the Lord, the psalmist is seeking him for forgiveness and for deliverance from sin. And then you have these wonderful words of hope that he is the Savior who forgives and delivers and redeems his people with, it says, plenteous or plentiful redemption in the ESV, and in the NIV here with him is full redemption. I have a book at home by a minister, right now I'm forgetting his name, but he was active in New York City in the mid-19th century, and in fact, leading up to the great prayer meeting revival at the end of the 1850s, in which he had a part. Now, I should remember his name, but I remember the title of the book is Communion Sermons. And one of his sermons is on this verse: Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And the title is Plenteous Redemption. And he goes through point after point after point as to why redemption is plenteous. And I can't remember them all, but I know they have to do with, for instance, the greatness of the sin, the bondage in which we are held, which we are incapable of escaping, humanly speaking. And then another reason for plenteous redemption is how perfectly we are delivered of our sins. And then another reason is the great price of redemption that is paid to lift us out, to bring us to God, to make us free, the precious blood of Christ. Now, those are three. He has 10 or 12. They used to preach longer sermons, if you can believe it. Yes, they, and point after point, and wonderful truth. And this man preached on plenteous redemption with the Lord. And when we call on the Lord, here we find the psalmist in the depths of woe because of his sin, crying out for salvation. Hear my voice, Lord. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. But Lord, you forgive sins. If you would keep a record of wrongs, if you would mark iniquities, O God, who would stand? Who could possibly stand before you, O God? There is no one righteous, we read in Romans 3. That comes from several scriptures in the Psalms. None righteous, no, not one. No one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So no one can stand before God except for mercy and forgiveness, which is a result of God's mercy, his grace, his power to set free from sin and to cleanse from every spot and stain. Oh, praise the Lord. There is forgiveness with you, the psalmist says. With you there is forgiveness. Now there's no specific sin mentioned. And I'm sure that means that all sins are included. God forgives every sin. That's what Paul preached at Antioch on his first missionary journey. By him, you can be justified. I still remember Brother Paul having us sing a song many, many years ago. Do you remember that? You had the men sing a song that says, "It just went into my heart." We don't sing it often. I don't know how long it's been since I heard it, but it says, "Jesus, the Lamb of God, has died, opening the door to heaven wide. All who believe are justified freely from every sin." Sister Lisa Weaver just left, I think, today. And she wanted to sing at the table a song that none of us would have been able to sing, at least not more than one verse. "Come, sinners, to the gospel feast." She was smiling, kind of laughing when she suggested it, knowing that we didn't know all the verses of that. But in that song, Wesley says, as part of the invitation and the voice of the Lord, he says, "You cannot be too bad for me. You cannot be too bad for me. Murder, adultery, lying, stealing, coveting, failing to keep the Lord's day, taking the name of God in vain, whatever it may be, there is forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God." That's such a great thing, and the psalmist makes it big and great right here. And another thing that you see in this, just in this little verse, that this forgiveness is now. It's not in the future, and it's also not necessarily in the future, and not only when you first came to the Lord. It says there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness with you, and your sins can be forgiven. You can come now if you've never come before. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I suppose most everybody here has come to the Lord, repenting of their sins and believing in what Jesus has done for us and taking our sins upon himself. And we have found the assurance. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss, the blood washed. No, oh, the peace akin to heaven. Yes, to know that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. That's something that is so precious and so wonderful, and we can know that we pass from death to life and that our sins have been forgiven forever. But then now with you is forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then another thing that is implied here is that God's forgiveness is for those who want it. Yes, it's there. But you come and ask God for it. You confess your sins. You ask for forgiveness. And you trust him to give it to you. The writer of this psalm is calling on the Lord. He's confessing his sin. He's not covering his sin, pretending that it doesn't exist or it doesn't need forgiveness from God, that it's not a big deal. No, he's asking God for mercy. He has no claim on God, but he's believing and trusting in God's work, in God's mercy, in God's word of promise. With you, there is forgiveness. And then one other thing in this third verse and fourth verse, these two verses, I guess I'm focusing on them for at least a moment. God's forgiveness leads to godly living. It doesn't open the door. The Apostle Paul had this argument used against him that you preach the freeness of God's grace, and that means that people will sin more easily and not live carefully before God. But that's not what this verse 4 teaches. It says, therefore you are feared. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. He is the only one. Remember, none can forgive sins but God. The Pharisees said that. And they were right. what is this man doing? And who does he think he is? No one can forgive sins but God. Jesus had said, your sins are forgiven you, my son. And they were. And Jesus proved it to them that he had the power on earth to forgive sins. There is forgiveness with thee. I think it was here at camp toward the beginning of the season. I told how I had come across this article about the fear of the Lord, and Sinclair Ferguson was connecting it to love. And it was such a blessing to me. And I've also read that for this verse, Charles Spurgeon, interpreted it this way in his sermon on this text. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be loved and worshipped and served. And these are all included in the fear of the Lord, in walking in reverence before him. When we receive his forgiveness, when we experience his mercy, then we want to love and worship and serve him. So these are the effects of forgiveness in the lives of those who are truly forgiven, those who find mercy with God. And then I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. In the NIV, it's more than watchmen for the morning. Those who are up at night, maybe they can't sleep. I suppose every one of us have had that experience at some time or another, and some have it more often than others. Too bad. But I hear from people that some people have trouble sleeping, and those nights can be so very long as you wait for the morning light. Oh, the dawn is so welcome. And here I'm waiting for the Lord, just like those who watch for the morning, or maybe the watchman who's on guard duty. He didn't choose to have the night watch, but he's out there, and he's pacing back and forth, and he can't wait till his shift is over. More than they that watch for the morning, I wait for the Lord. Waiting on God. Now, what is that about? What is he waiting for when he's waiting for God? Not for deliverance from trouble, but it says he's waiting for God. I don't think he's even waiting for forgiveness anymore. He has obtained that. But now he wants God. He wants intimacy with God. He wants restored fellowship. Sin has broken that fellowship, the enjoyment of fellowship with God. But now he has forgiveness. And he waits for the Lord to come and reveal his favor, smile upon him, and make him know it. Give him that blessed assurance. He waits for God. That fellowship has been broken, and he wants it above all else. He wants it to be restored. I think it's important to notice that the forgiveness is not dependent on our feeling forgiven. It's the work of God and the Word of God. And these are sure. We're forgiven whether we feel it or not. Our sins are forgiven, the Apostle John tells us, for his name's sake. We ask God, and God promises to forgive. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse, forgive sins and to cleanse from unrighteousness. God will be faithful to his word and to the work of his son. There's no way that he could deny that or fail to do what he said. But the psalmist wants this intimacy with God, and it will follow, but he's waiting for it, and he's waiting in faith, and he wants it above everything else. And then let Israel hope in the Lord. Let God's people trust in him. Trust him with all their hearts, because there is mercy. There is plenteous redemption. There's a word in the prophet Jeremiah that says there's a day coming when sin will be sought in the remnant of God's people, and it will not be found. Not be found. So perfect is God's work of redemption, forgiveness. In Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I chose this psalm for tonight because of crying out of the depths to the Lord, as Jonah did. And we know that Jonah's life was restored. He was given a new lease on life. But what a wonderful word here. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. He himself will redeem Israel. That means his people from all their sins. That's plenteous redemption. That's God's mercy. And how wonderful it is to think about that, remember it, avail ourselves of it. We thank you, Lord, for your great mercy. We thank you that you don't turn a deaf ear to anyone who calls upon you. And you said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We thank you for plenteous redemption. We thank you that you are able for every single one of us in all of our need. False and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace, plenteous grace. With thee is found grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you tonight. We want to live before you as those who have been forgiven, as those who have obtained mercy. Oh, Lord, walking carefully and in your fear, loving and worshiping and serving you with the whole heart, and show our gratitude in this way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.